Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Good morning. It's 10 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's Central Time, of course, here in Urbana-Champaign. Let's take a look at what's been happening in Chicago at the CME Group. At this hour, futures are lower for the corn pit, down just 0.75 cents at $4.95 and a quarter in the lead option September. December at 4.77 and a half, our penny and a quarter lower. The March corn at 4.90, down 1 1/4. Wheat futures are trading the soft red there, up 4.5 cents at $6.53 3/4. August soybeans for the day at 13.53 and a half, a penny and 3/4 lower, but the September 2 3/4 higher at $12.69 and a half. November futures at 12.25, up 1, and January 12.29 and a half, up 0.5 cent. Bean meal futures at 4.32.40 are down $15.40. Bean oil at 43.62, 19 cents lower. Live cattle futures at 122.10, up 45. August feeders at 152.77 and a half are up 42 and a half, and August lean hogs for the day at $97.95 are down 62 and a half cents. Always on a Friday morning, we talk with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Beautiful on the wide banks of the Missouri River. Good morning to you, Michael.
Todd, good morning. We finally got some rain out here last night. We didn't know what it looked like. I was thinking about driving back to Indiana just to see how good it looks over there.
Well, I was going to ask you a bit about this. Let me play a cut for you that we'll use during Commodity Week that comes from Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. He sends me on Friday mornings always a weather report that I send out not only to here, to our station, but to many stations, and I pull just 30 seconds. I want you to listen to this real quick, then we're going to talk a little bit about dry weather and dry conditions out west and where you are.
Sure.
There were some long-term concerns with dry weather in western and northern Illinois at this time. These areas are running about 5 to 50% of average for the month so far. For example, Quincy has received just 1/4 of an inch for July. This is at the time of year when the demand for water by crops is at its highest level and can run up to 1/4 of an inch per day. In fact, the U.S. Drought Monitor has put western Illinois in the category of abnormally dry.
Okay, so Michael, those are completely different conditions than here on the eastern side of the state, where things have been really, really pretty good. And you're a little further to the west. So tell me about these dry conditions that are out west.
Well, I think it's about a third of the crop is what I've seen. I did a crop tour yesterday for been about an hour or so north of Atchison and tried to get into, you know, really the better ground, as good a ground as we can get out here from what I understand, and areas that have been holding up really well and have caught a couple rains. And it still remains about the same, Todd. About one-third of the crop has been in a state of stress, has the ears tipping back, has short corn. We know there is some between Hannibal, Missouri, and this is northern Missouri, central Missouri, all the way across to Atchison, much different than Belleville, where I was earlier this week. But you're seeing some one out of four fields that actually have corn that's only about 5 feet tall and tasseling. I think this goes back to, A, the trade is not trading this. They're trading more of a 2009 scenario, where we started out rough, but we're going to come in and cool off, and it's going to be perfect weather from here on out. We're going to have an enormous amount of grain fill, and they've kind of left off the table, I think, the planting problems we had earlier in the season, thinking that's going to be offset by ever-increasing yields in your neck of the woods and on farther east. And the other thing would be they have kind of, you know, glossed over, in my opinion, some of these areas that started out rough and never really have come on. So I'm still sitting here thinking to myself, okay, if this is a 2009 crop and not 2011, then USDA should be moving in a crop condition mindset the next 2 weeks, heading into their next supply-demand report of seeing crop improvement. Iowa is 20 points below in good to excellent where it was at this same time period back in 2011. You'd think with the rains yesterday and this cooler temperature that we're seeing in this weather pattern of the last week, you'd see that climb on Monday. So I'll be watching for that. And then obviously In August of 2011, we saw the USDA cut the yield from July, and I'll be watching to see if they dare do that. And that's kind of the thing that I'm watching here as the supply bears really start to roar and they talk about how we're going to go even lower because the crop's getting so much better. I'd say I'm not so sure, and even guys in Indiana are saying, I'm not so sure if I have top-end yields. I'll know a lot more when that grain fills out.
Well, when you do the numbers and you kind of put in what you see in that lower third and then the upper two-thirds, what do you come out with for a total crop? Because the acreage is still pretty big, and I don't know whether prevent plant is going to play that big of a role or not.
Yeah, let's assume it won't. You know, some of the numbers that I looked at, a good case would be out here. I think a good or normal case would be 14 around and 42 long, or 16 around and 33 long. That seems to be what I've been getting out here a lot as far as good case scenarios. So you're talking about 140, 150, 160 bushels, depending on what the actual weather gives us here the next 10 days. But like I said, one in three fields that I went into has a lot of tip back in it, and so you're probably on the lower end of that yield projection if you use a calculator. So I'm at a national yield still sitting at around 152, 153 area, thinking that, yeah, it could probably get up to 156 and meet and match up with USDA's number if we had really good yield, because we had such a tough spring and we had such a late corn, and there's such a potential that some of these areas will not catch the rains that have been under stress. And so I'm still, you know, able to get into the mid-150s and still say, okay, there's a 1.7, 1.8 crop ending stocks number out here. But if you're talking about 2.2, 2.3, I don't think it's there right now, and I think that the trade's already dialed that in, because lead month corn is the lowest level it's been since September of 2010, when the trade was back to thinking that we were well over $2 billion at that point as well.
So does that mean you're, what, 40 cents too low in the December contract in your mind?
Oh, yeah, I think at least. I mean, this is in the meeting I did in Belleville, they asked the same question you just asked, and I said, okay, if you did come in at 152 or 153 and you actually went back towards a 1.5 carryover, I think because the global supplies, and this is what, not just global supplies, but the global demand is really coming on here, I think, in the next 6 to 9 months, I think that's worthy of getting that December corn back up to its trading range high of 570. Now, granted, I need to have that happen here in the next 3 weeks because, like I said, crop conditions, if they start to go up, then that works against me. And then if USDA actually raises the yield in August and makes the trade more correct, then I've got to go back and look at what I'm doing.
Mike, we have maybe 2 minutes left here, about a minute and a half, actually. I want to go back to spot month and old crop corn. Huge break in the corn basis last night. Have grain elevators sold everything they have into the marketplace? Are end users filled up? Can they make it through the gap? Or will there be a push before harvest really begins?
I think there's got to be a push before harvest begins, Todd, and I think we'll know that first in the meal market, because what you saw in the meal market was, and the corn market for that matter, was you hit the demand wall again. You saw the elevators push their basis as hard as they could, make it Christmas in July for the producer, get as much corn and beans out of the hands of the producers as they could, and then said, okay, whatever we get, we're going to have to shut down because we can't get any more between now and new crop. We realize that, so we're going to take an extended shutdown, and we're just going to have to whittle through what we have. I mean, when I look at the weekly stocks, we're at 63% of the stocks levels versus last year in corn. We're at 24% of the stocks levels versus beans last year. You and I have talked about this a lot, and the other analysts. We know in the heart of the matter we're below the pipeline supplies in the soybeans. We've got to be below 100 million bushel carryover with the $600 meal being traded earlier this week. But I think because USDA didn't take us below pipeline supplies and signal to the market that we needed to ration, we got this kind of a reaction by the marketplace. But let's face it, when the cash market drops, you don't encourage imports, and you keep telling the demand to keep on coming. So I don't think this story's over, and I think we'll know a lot more when August meal goes into delivery on the 31st of this month.
Thanks, Mike. You're listening to WILL Urbana.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream,
our promise.